You're listening to Money and Me.
Hello, everybody. How are you doing? You're catching me, Ahalya, on Money Buddy, a brand new podcast series where insights on personal finance are made easy.
Now, Money and Me is an investor awareness initiative
by PGIM India Mutual Fund. And on this podcast, we hope to simplify your investment journey and along the way, hopefully help you reduce your financial anxiety as well. But, you know, before we even get down to investing, it's really important that we have the basic foundation of money in place. Planning for your life goals becomes easy when you follow certain thumb rules of personal finance. So to help us understand these thumb rules, we have with us none other than Ajit Menon, CEO, PGIM India Mutual Fund, to talk to us about the thumb rules of investing to reduce your financial anxiety. Listen in.
Hi, this is Ajit Menon from PGIM India Mutual Fund, and I'm really happy to bring you this podcast. I'm going to dive into the topic for today, and I wanted to bring to you something that anybody can think about when they start their investment journey. There are some very basic thumb rules that you can keep in mind that can guide you on that journey. Before I even get into those thumb rules, let me tell you that I have a financial advisor myself. So even though I have almost a 30-year career now, out of which 22 has been in mutual funds and the financial markets, I do think it's important to have a financial advisor because every individual and every household will have a unique financial situation to be dealt with. So I do want to give you one basic perspective to keep in mind, which is more of a sequence when you approach your money. And that sequence is to think about doing your household budgeting first in trying to figure out what is your income, what is your expenses, and what is the surplus that you have at the end of every month, whether you're in business or whether you're a salaried person. The first step in the sequence of your financial journey should be your budgeting exercise, your household budgeting exercise. The second step that you need to take, once you know what the surpluses are, is to protect yourself and your loved ones through insurance. So this means obviously life insurance as well as health insurance, and it could even include things like your property insurance. It is only after you do your insurance and you see a surplus that you now move into the next stage in your financial journey, which according to me should be in creating an emergency corpus for yourself and your family. An emergency corpus is just money kept aside in the bank, or you could keep it with a reasonably safe mutual fund. And how do you think about this emergency corpus? Well, most experts would say that you should ideally put aside 6 months of your expenses into an emergency fund. There are some people who'd like to be even more conservative and have maybe 12 months of your expenses set aside in an emergency corpus. This emergency corpus will obviously help you if, in case of an emergency, you have something, you know, at your workplace which becomes a challenge, or you have a health situation at home which you need to deal with some expenses. This emergency fund absolutely helps for that. It is a very, very critical step in your financial journey. The first being household budgeting, the second being insurance, the third being setting up your emergency fund. And only after these three would you then step into investments. Now let's look at some thumb rules of investing, as I was talking about, and let me take you through some very simple ways in which you can think about your money and how to sort of manage it. So the first rule is 50-30-20. Easy to remember? 50-30-20. And what does 50-30-20 mean? Well, 50-30-20 is the sort of allocation that you should have of your monthly take-home salary. So, you know, after your taxes, whatever hits your account on the first of the month or the end of the month, as you see it, 50-30-20 is a rule that you'll apply to your salary in a way that your necessities and your expenses, your spends, you should try to limit it to 50% of your take-home salary. And of course, you will have EMIs. You may have bought a house, you may have bought a car or, you know, some other asset. Ideally, you should limit your EMIs to 30% of your monthly salary. And the balance 20% is what you should ideally set as a limit for saving. So if you're in your, you know, late 20s and 30s and you've started a job, doesn't matter. I think you can save around 20% of your income. Remember the limit of 30% for your EMIs. And that's a good sort of thumb rule to keep. If you can keep yourself within those limits, that'll probably help you quite a bit. Now, what is the thumb rule that you can keep? We spoke about the emergency fund a little earlier. So the thumb rule for emergency funds is that, you know, in the early part of your career, because you might be thinking of different things to do, start a business, or sometimes the job itself might be quite challenging and you might want to look at different jobs that you might do. And that might cause some disruption at the start. But an emergency fund just does not help you with disruptions that you might have with your job. It can help you with disruptions that happen in the family. Maybe it's a health emergency and things like that. So the thumb rule for emergency funds is to at least have 6 months of your expenses put aside in the bank and keep it safe for you to redeem or take back whenever you wish to. So if you have a 50,000 rupee expense at home every month, put aside 3 lakh rupees in a bank deposit or a safe fund that you can think about, which is open-ended and you can withdraw it anytime you want to in that emergency, to a point in locking up that money. So 6 months. Of course, if you do believe that you have more challenges that you're likely to have because you have older parents, you have siblings you're supporting and things like that, it's always a good idea to be a little bit more conservative perhaps and have a slightly larger emergency fund. You can slowly start putting money aside for your emergency fund. As I mentioned, you know, you get into investments only after you think you've got your emergency fund sorted out. So that's the rule for emergency fund. On the insurance side, there is a thumb rule that, you know, you would probably hear from people who are in the insurance business. And that is about how much insurance should you really have. And, you know, if you're in your 30s or so, it's recommended that you have at least 10 times your annual income as your life insurance, as a term insurance that you can take. Term insurance are cheaper. You don't get those premiums back, but hey, the coverage would be much higher for a lower cost. So you could potentially do term insurances, life insurances. And the thumb rule there is really to have at least 10 times your annual income as the insurance that you would take. Let's look at a thumb rule now for retirement, right? A lot of people, you know, want to just hang up their boots. Many young ones want to do it early. And there are many people in their late careers who are thinking, okay, it's high time that I hang up my boots. And what's the corpus that I will require to lead a reasonably good life for the next maybe, you know, 20 or 30 years or more? One way of thinking about how much of a retirement corpus you should have is most again, financial planning experts would tell you that, you know, you could have anywhere between a 20 to 35 times of your annual expense at the age of 60. That's the whole point. Which annual expense? You know, assuming that you're going to be retiring by the time you're 60, or, and if you think that you're going to retire by the time you're 50 or 55, you've got to imagine what's likely to be your annual expense at that time. Multiply that by 20 or 30 if you want to be a little bit more conservative. That's the kind of corpus that you can plan for your retirement. So that's one way. And then how do you collect that corpus? How do you get that corpus? I think the best is, you know, for that, like I do, is to, you know, speak to a good financial advisor, a trusted financial advisor, who can then start planning a portfolio for you to try and build that corpus. I just want to talk about a last rule when you're thinking about investments, and that's about when you're investing your money, how much should you put into equity shares, which have a little bit more risk. It's got exposure to the markets and the economy as a whole, both local and global at times. So what should be the sort of thumb rule when you're thinking about buying shares or investing into equity mutual funds? One of the simple thumb rules that is spoken of, and you can use this to great effect, is to use the 100 minus age as a percentage of how much you're going to be putting into equity mutual funds. So if you're a 30-year-old, 100 minus 30, 70% of your surpluses you could put into an equity mutual fund, a good equity mutual fund perhaps. And the reason is because you're younger, you have a lot more time on your side. So using that same thumb rule, if you're a 60-year-old person and you're looking at how much money should I be putting into an equity fund in general, 100 minus 60, you should only be putting 40% of your surplus into equity. Of course, these are thumb rules. These are not accurate. These are reliable in terms of you taking action. The best way to do it is obviously to speak to a financial advisor who can help you exactly decide how much you should have or not have. But just as a start for your journey, when you're thinking about what to do and how to do, I think this is a good way that you could plan using these thumb rules. I hope you enjoyed those thumb rules, and I'm really looking forward to speaking with all of you again very soon on the next topic. Thank you and have a good day.
Well, those insights were invaluable. Thank you, Ajit, for explaining these concepts to us. And just to summarize what we discussed, it's really helpful that we look to plan our finances in a sequence of household budget, protection and saving, and then investing. Ajit also spoke to us about how and where to park your emergency fund, the 50-30-20 rule, a very important thumb rule, and how to decide your asset allocation based on your goals, age, and risk appetite. So that's a wrap on this edition of Money Buddy, PGIM India Mutual Fund's very own podcast series. Be sure to check out the rest of our series and stay tuned, because a lot more insights will be coming your way. Mutual fund investments are subject to market risks. Read all scheme-related documents carefully.
This is the Money and Me podcast by PGIM India Mutual Fund.